Good morning, everyone. This is Judy Mario, and today we are talking about pursuing your passion. This is Choices Radio, and if you would like to pursue your passion, then you'll want to listen in today because we have an incredible guest. His name is Jeff Sevilko, and Jeff is a Las Vegas-based headline entertainer who blends his perfected art of juggling with friendly audience interaction and insane amounts of energy. So welcome, Jeff. Nice to have you with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Judy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be around you. Audience, I met Jeff a few years ago, and I have to tell you, I've seen his show about 20 times in Las Vegas, and it's just the most incredible, incredible fun show. So, Jeff, tell us a little bit about how you pursued your passion. I mean, like, why did you become an entertainer? I understand that you have this incredible degree in marketing from Georgetown University. You could have done all kinds of things, but instead you became a fabulous entertainer.
Sure. Well, thank you, first off, for all your kind words. I'll throw it back to the audience here. You may not realize that Judy was one of the first people I ever met in Las Vegas, and we were introduced through mutual friends, and Judy was instrumental in really kind of connecting me in town. You know, Judy obviously is so well connected in this community, and we've been here so long and spoken for so many different groups and organizations here that, you know, I have to thank you because I am still capitalizing on introductions that you made for me after we had breakfast at, whatever that was, Eggworks or the Egg and I, or some
where was that?
Somewhere in
that. That was the Egg and I. That was
the Egg and I. Yeah.
That was really.
So thank you. But, I think it's all about just an organic development. You know, when I look back, at least for myself personally, you know, people say, you know, when do you decide to pursue your passion? And you know, that almost makes it seem like I, you know, had this revelation or I was, you know, doing some job or in some situation in life that I wasn't happy with, and then I decided, you know what, I'm going to throw this all away and I'm going to pursue my passion. And I know that does happen for some people. I have a good friend who was a lawyer in New York for years, and he's very successful, but he wasn't happy, and so he decided to become an actor. And, you know, a complete life change direction.
Right.
And you know, that happens too, as you know, that story indicates. But personally, for me, that's never really how it happened. I was always performing. I, you know, even at a young age, I used to do little juggling shows in my kitchen, you know, for my parents after dinner. My parents would do the dishes, and I would do, it was kind of showtime in the kitchen with Jeff, so I would do, you know, these magic and juggling shows for usually my grandmother who lived with us while my parents kind of cleaned up the kitchen. It was kind of the after-dinner show. So I just kept juggling. I just kept getting performing and getting any opportunity that I could, whether it was free or not, you know, around the block at block parties, and then Cub Scout banquets, and then I got a job at a theme park, and then that led to a job at a cruise ship. And so I never really kind of, you know, took a step back and consciously thought, okay, how am I going to do this? I kept working at whatever level I was at, and that led to more work. But I think that's really important to you know, emphasize for people who are, you know, starting to get into something they're passionate about and trying to monetize it. You have to work. You have to do, you know, you have to do the thing that you want to do on any level. And that might seem obvious, but there are so many people who, you know, they just kind of like being around the buzz, but they're not actually doing what they really want. You know, so they kind of get their fix. They kind of get their fix by kind of being around people who do that, or they work on some level. You know, and that's a fine start, but you know, in order to really get going, you have to take a swing. You know, you have to even if it is for free, and you're still working full time, but then you're performing for free, or you're speaking for free, or you know, you're taking photos for free, or you know, being a personal trainer for free, whatever it is, you know, you have to actually start. You have to actually do the thing you want to do. You know.
I love that. Do the thing you want to do. And I think one of the things that's so exciting about you, Jeff, is that you are a very passionate person. No matter what it is that you do, you seem to be very passionate. What makes makes your show a friendly family show, but also great for adults like me who don't have kids.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's really important, you know, when you say you're a passionate person. I do mention that in the chapter, the Life Choices, Pursuing Your Passion book. And the original idea came from reading Seth Godin, who I really enjoy his blog. And he said that the passion isn't project-specific, it's people-specific. So what that means, really, is that, you know, you don't necessarily need to find some cause for which you're passionate about. Don't start with that. You know, start with, you know, getting in touch with yourself and finding what makes you tick and what makes you happy. You know, when you get up in the morning, what makes you want to jump out of bed and, you know, get to it? Is it taking photos, as I mentioned, or is it, you know, getting, connecting with people? Is it, you know, like you're doing, you're saying you do this radio show and you love it. You get to meet all these people, you get to chat, you know, that obviously on some level, you know, fulfills you, it sparks you, it gets you excited. So, you know, I think that's really important to remember is that, you know, if you really work on becoming a passionate person and think about what makes you happy and you know, not the quick fix, but long-term what fulfills you, you know, I get that sense myself. I'm trying to get, you know, on TV and trying to build my brand, but at the end of the day, what makes me happy is being able to go to a theater, have people pay money to see, come in, and I get to entertain them, you know, for an hour plus every day. That to me is, that's a pretty good life. You know, if I can make that work and enjoy myself and get to do what I love to do, then that to me is, you know, that's a very worthwhile pursuit. So you had asked about the sorry, go ahead, Judy.
No, I was just going to say, it's pretty obvious that you love what you do, and you were right. I did ask about being a family-friendly show, and I think that's one of the cool things about you is that, you know, you could bring your children or your grandmother
sure.
to your show.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's funny because there's, you know, the whole range of entertainment in Las Vegas from family-friendly shows to, of course, adult shows and everything, and, you know, I think it's just what you grow up with. I grew up with, you know, with a family and just an emphasis on that kind of clean entertainment. The people that I looked up to as performers were, you know, guys like Jerry Seinfeld and guys like Brian Regan, who's actually lives here in Vegas. But they work clean, and that just to me was always so much more appealing because you could bring the whole family in. You know, I got inspired by being involved in a show. I was picked to be a volunteer in a show at Harvard Square, a street performing show. So that's probably the moment that I enjoy the most in my whole show now is that when I kind of spin that around and I have a kind of a callback to when I was picked to be a volunteer and I actually used the child who I use on stage and I talk directly to that child, and it's a very nice moment because, you know, that really did start it all for me. So, you know, I kind of tell people, actually, this is new since you've seen the show, Judy. I actually kind of have a moment without hitting them over the head with it. You know, I kind of say that at the show. I kind of say to the kids, I speak directly to the kids and say, you know, no matter what you're into, whether it's sports or music or arts, you know, keep going because you never know where it's all going to lead. You know, I mean, that's what's funny is people say, Jeff, how'd you get your own show in Las Vegas? And, you know, you don't wake up one morning and say, oh, you know, I want a show in Las Vegas. How do I do at 9 years old?
No.
You know, you just,
no.
As I said before, you just keep working, you know? I mean, the answer to how'd you get your own show. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I say work. When I say work, I mean, you know, I love my work. I mean doing shows, which, you know, is, that to me is my work. But, you know, yeah, just keep cranking out the shows and one thing, you know, leads to another and the next little door opens, you know, from wherever level you're at now.
Yeah. Are there any other new additions to your show since I've seen it besides just talking to the kids?
Oh yeah, no, yeah. It's so I moved from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I joke and I say 4 o'clock is the new 8 o'clock. That's what I'm trying to put. You know, it is really nice though. It's you know, it brings in more people because it's a little later in the day. People you know, a lot of people are up pretty late here, and so it brings you, it's nice for my personal life as well, because I have a little bit more into my day before I have to start thinking about the show. But I took that opportunity when I moved from 2 to 4 to really give people a reason to come back. And so we added a ton of new stuff. We added a full new routine where I juggle a bunch of ridiculous objects that the audience has picked, including like a Furby and an axe and you know, a torch and all sorts of fun stuff. We added a kind of a really cool, it's like a remote control box that kind of enables balls to drop from the ceiling. So we added that in the kind of glow section, which people really like. It closes the show. We have now some balls that are falling from the ceiling, you know, timed with the music, which creates a really nice effect. So yeah, there's a couple other things that I'll leave to I'll leave for you to come and see. But they're exciting.
I won't be surprised.
Exactly. Yeah, we're working with some new technology. I'll just say that. We're working with some technology about using a camera so that you kind of see, the audience sees the way I see the juggling patterns, you know, from my point of view, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, I would think so. Listen, you recently returned back to Georgetown University where you went to school to perform there. Now, what was that like going back to the past and then performing for them?
Sure. Well, you know, Georgetown's been so wonderful to me. It's given me so much, and it's funny because it's given me a lot in ways that are, I would say, atypical. I did get my degree, and I had a wonderful college experience, but I really felt like Georgetown was kind of the time, those 4 years of my life, when I really found, you know, it sounds cheesy, right, but I found myself, you know, I kind of discovered, you know, who I was and what I wanted to do and what made me happy, which is kind of funny because it's not a theater school, it's not a performing arts school like NYU or one of those, but it was kind of just where I kind of got my identity, and so I try to give back as much as possible to Georgetown. So I serve on the board for the university at large, which among other things, I'm the president of the Georgetown Club here in Las Vegas. So we have different alumni clubs, different cities, just so we can stay connected to the university, and you know, a lot of it's social out here, a lot of it's philanthropic, a lot of it's, you know, professional development, just kind of, again, stay rooted to the university. So I returned home, I should say, for a board meeting, and they wanted to do a big comedy show featuring various alumni who had gone into comedy. So it was fun. They asked me to MC the whole show, which was a real treat. I got to perform. A lot of some of my teachers and some of my friends who still live in D.C. came out, and it was just a great time, and it was great to meet all these different alumni from Georgetown who had kind of found their way into the comedy scene as well, and you know, it's kind of fun to share those experiences and chat with people.
That had to be exciting. Listeners, this is Judy Mario, and today we are talking with Jeff Civilico. Jeff is a Vegas-based headline entertainer who is sometimes very, very outrageous. And I want you to know that we always want to talk about what you want to hear about, so please feel free to write to me, Judy, at judymario.com. That's J-U-D-I, at Judy Mario, JUDIMORIO.com. Write to me and let me know what it is that you'd like to hear about. And if you'd like to pick up a copy of this book, Life Choices, Pursuing Your Passion, which has stories by Jeff Civilico, myself, and several of the other Las Vegas entertainers, please go to my website, Judy, at JudyMario.com, and check out the products that we have there. And while you're there, just sign up for our newsletter. We send you a free newsletter every month, and along with that, you'll get the download of my audio recording to realize who you are. So today we are here with Jeff Civilico, and Jeff is also a world record holder for bungee jumping on his unicycle off a cliff in New Zealand. So when I say he's outrageous, yes, he's outrageous. And he also goes joggling for fun. So I want to know what joggling is, Jeff.
Joggling is jogging and juggling at the same time. So I like to do a lot of fun things, as you alluded to. And I like doing them for charity, you know, because, you know, why? Well, what better excuse is there to do something crazy than for charity, right? So, I've done. Oh, go ahead.
Are you going to repel over Planet Hollywood again, something like that, coming up?
Yeah, I already did that. I rappelled on my unicycle about 2 weeks ago down Planet Hollywood Casino for Special Olympics, and that was a ton of fun. And I literally rode my unicycle off of the roof of Planet Hollywood.
Oh.
So that was, yeah, it was fun.
And you literally tell the story.
I did, yeah. No, we raised a lot of money for Special Olympics Nevada. So I believe all told with all the repellers is about 70,000. So
it was a
great time. And the joggling you mentioned, yeah, I joggled a marathon. So all 26.2 miles of the Disney Marathon. Again, just kind of giving people a reason to donate. You know, trying to do something a little different and. You know, make it fun to see, you know, hey, is he going to be able to do this, you know, to rally behind me. So, and that went great too.
And didn't you found, that organization, Win-Win Entertainment? Isn't that a nonprofit that, gives to put charities and talent together? What is that? Tell us about Win-Win Entertainment.
Sure. I moved to Las Vegas, and, you know, especially, we talked actually earlier, all coming full circle, and you say, you know, you just need to get out there and do your thing. You need to work, right, in whatever level you're at. So charities are a great source, at least for an entertainer, for them to get gigs. You know, you call up, you know, hospitals and nursing homes and various charitable groups and offer to come perform. They're ecstatic. They're happy. You know, they don't get many calls like that of people just saying, hey, I'm an entertainer. You know, I'm new to town. I'd love to, you know, go room to room at the children's hospital and do some close up magic for the kids. You know, who's gonna say, no, that's okay. You know, we're booked. You know, I mean, they're gonna say absolutely. Like that would be so wonderful. So that's what I did. I started doing charity shows when I moved to town, just kind of get my name out there. You know, and to meet people and to talk about what I'm doing. So that's what I did, and then I kept getting all these charities saying, hey, this is great, can you help us find someone else? You know, how do we find another performer for next week or next year? So I used to, you know, do shows here in town as well. I kind of started getting involved in the scene here, and I would meet performers, and I would match them up. So I realized after, you know, several months that I had a stable of performers who were willing to donate their time and talent if I kind of created the opportunity for them to do so. And then on the other side, I had all of these charities coming to me and saying, hey, we have a big, you know, gala. Can you help us find an entertainer for this event? Can you help us find something for our Christmas party? And so Win-Win Entertainment was born. I felt it was a good idea, and I've been validated since, because, you know, the Win-Win Entertainment is growing at a very fast pace. We have several great board members, and we have new talent coming on all the time, and we have, you know, charities coming to us more than I can handle, so it's good.
It keeps you busy, doesn't it? Jeff, do you ever go on the road? I mean, I know you're a Las Vegas headliner, but do you sometimes go other places to do your programs?
Yes, absolutely. Although I have the show here that kind of roots me and gives me some structure, you know, a lot of that is what you can leverage that for other opportunities, right? How you can best leverage that. So in my case, I leverage having a Las Vegas show for, you know, shots at TV, saying, oh, who is this kid? Oh, he's a Vegas guy. He's got a show. And then, you know, that kind of gets you in the door. And also corporate. So, you know, I'll say, you know, hey, this guy was great. I want to bring him to our company Christmas party in San Diego. You know, or you know, I'll speak to students, I'll do, you know, speak to Future Farmers of America, or, you know, organizations like that, where I'll do a little performing as well, but then I'll speak to them about following their passions, or you know, getting involved on whatever level they're at currently. So I love taking the show on the road.
Right. And tell us about some of the upcoming Caesars Entertainment events, because I understand where you perform, the Quad, that's owned by Caesars?
Yes. So, you know, when you have a show, so Caesars Entertainment owns, of course, Caesars Palace, and then, you know, Paris, Glen Hollywood, Bally's, and the Quad, Flamingo, Harrah's. You know, you're really kind of, you're joining a family, and you're joining a network of other casinos. So along with those casinos, of course, come all of the performers that perform at Caesars properties, and then all of the events that Caesars puts on, or kind of gets behind. So it's been great. There's so many opportunities for me to get my name out there, and it really is a win-win, because I'm being associated with, you know, on some level, Donny and Marie, and you know, even the Coliseum headliners, you know, even Chippendale, that's a name brand, you know, that has the people know of, you know, I mean, all these different.
Well, you're so cute. You could be a Chippendale.
Maybe I'll jump in there if things don't work out. Thank you.
I mean,
the juggling Chippendale. The Juggledale. I'll start my own group, the Juggling Dales. Anyway, I'm making myself laugh. That's it.
So it's
what's that?
I said it's good. You're making us both laugh.
Right. So yeah, I mean, it's a good thing, because it positions me in a way that you know, right alongside all these other, you know, entertainment powerhouses, and it's great exposure for me. So you know, I hosted Caesars Got Talent recently, which was Caesars' employee talent show at the Penn & Teller Theater at the Rio. Big production. That was a ton of fun. I host their employee rallies. They have weekly employee rallies, so I jump in there, you know, every so often, and I host their rallies. Tonight, in fact, I'm performing at LVA, the Las Vegas Academy. They are having a fundraiser to get better instruments and improve their facilities. That's at the Rio. Frankie Moreno is hosting that, and I'm performing at that tonight. So, you know, there's always something going on. There's always a way that you can, you know, get your name out there and help the company and, you know, give back at the same time. It's all good.
Exactly. And Jeff, what are your goals for next year? What are some of your goals?
Goals for next year. It really does take a lot to get a Las Vegas show up and profitable. You know, people see shows come and go all the time, and they don't really know the business behind why that happens. And, you know, without going into too much detail, I'll just say that most people don't understand that performers nowadays rent the space. They pay the casinos to be there. They think it's the other way around. They think the casinos pay the performers to be there. It's not the case. So, you know, that was the old kind of Rat Pack model of entertainment, where you pay your entertainers to be bait, right? You pay Sinatra $100K to come to the Sahara, and they make so much money on food and beverage, on gaming, that's a drop in the bucket, and everybody's happy. Now, since everything has, you know, gone so corporate, every individual kind of entity, whether it's a restaurant or a nightclub or a show, they're now tenants of the casino. So they all pay for not only the space, but their crews and their marketing and everything. So people don't really realize that, you know, having a Las Vegas show, it's a lot like starting a restaurant or a nightclub. It's a multi-year endeavor. Where you really need to dig in, and you're going to understand that you're going to be losing money for quite some time in the beginning. You know, you're going to be really, kind of giving it all, 100% entrepreneur, you know, for many years. So that's what I'm doing. So when you say goals for next year, I would say I want to make the show. We've been there about 15 months, so in another year, all the construction will be done where I'm at currently with the Link project with Caesars. So I would say that my main goal is to focus on that show and just make that a wildly successful endeavor. We're doing well, but you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So that's my main goal.
Yeah, you mentioned the Link project. What is that?
Yeah, the Link, LINQ, that's Caesars kind of, I believe it's about a $600 million renovation to that area of the strip where my show exists, at the Quad, the Flamingo Quad Harrah's. So you see the big high roller, the big Ferris wheel? That's
right.
That's all part of the Link project. So they're putting a full, you know, shopping, nightlife, dining, all that in that block, one block east of the strip, you know, so it's going to go back from Las Vegas Boulevard all the way back to Cove Hall there. I guess it's two blocks.
Space.
Oh, yeah. So they have, a Brooklyn Bowl, you know, all sorts of restaurants. They're all sorts of nightclubs and you know, full. It's going to be beautiful. You know, they're bringing in trees and it's going to be, you know, kind of like the District. I believe it's the same company, actually, that does the District. Or the Grove in L.A., that's what I'm thinking of. You know, it'd be very, it'd be very beautiful, and you know, you can walk around, and, it'll be really, really good for the Strip. That part of the Strip needs kind of a little juice.
A little revamp, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's looking really, really good. Well, I have to tell you, I absolutely always enjoy my time with you. You're such a wonderful guest to have on the show, and your show is always fabulous, fabulous. If people would like to join your fan club, how would they go about doing that?
Sure. Well, if they go to the website, you can kind of link to everything off of there, all the social media, and get information about the show. The website is just my name.
And the website?
Yeah, it's jeffcivillico.com. So it's JeffCivillico.com. So then, you know, you can link to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that fun stuff, and get information about the show, which is 4 p.m. It's an afternoon show here in Las Vegas. So, for all your listeners.
Right?
Yep, at the Quad, all your listeners that come into town. It won't break the bank, and then, you know, it won't really take up much of your day as well, since, you know, you still have your days and you still have your nights. It's in that perfect kind of sweet spot of the day where, you know, kind of before dinner, where you might be looking for something to do.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of our listeners are definitely going to come and see you when they come to Las Vegas, and if they don't, I'll ring their neck personally, because I think your show is, well, it's absolutely one of the best shows in Las Vegas, and like I said before, it's good family fun. People can bring their children without having to worry that their children are going to be exposed to adult entertainment. They can bring their grandmother. The grandmothers all love you. I've seen them all come up after and love you and everything. And so go to the Quad. That's the Quad in Las Vegas at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, and see Jeff Civillico and his fabulous, fabulous show. Jeff, thank you so much for being with us today.
All right. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you. Listeners, the ability to control your life experiences and have them result in happiness, prosperity, and success lies in your own mind and in the choices that you make. So choose to pursue your passion. Choose to be a passionate person. Choose to go after whatever it is that you dream about. But whatever you do, choose wisely. And remember, you are always more than enough.